This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Pig City Roadhouse presents Rocky Mountain College Kickoff on KFKA. With Brady Hull, Dustin Urbis, and Mike Danson, here's Tanner Schwint.
Welcome back, Rocky Mountain College Kickoff, presented by Big City Roadhouse. I am Tanner Schwint. We've got the cast and crew of idiots in here with you today, and I should not be throwing any stones because I'm living in a glass house after the picks from last week. Let's go around the table and meet the crew. We start first, you just heard him, Brady Hull, host of The Hull Show. Brady, obviously excited to talk with you. Big week this week. I know you just got done talking with Brian Howell. Very fascinating conversation. Can't wait to talk about CU. We've got Dustin Urbis, the dude down the hall, Front Range, Spare Change, and Mike Dancing with Wolves is here today as well. And yes, Mike, you're ahead of me in the picks now. I have to put a little respect on your name.
Well, you're in the cellar like you were last year.
Yeah, so. I know. I'm only a game back. All right, guys. Let's talk, of course, and a big thank you to Micah Kilpatrick, who's doing the production work for us.
Good job, Mike.
Today. Good job. Bert, is it Bert? Is that what we decided on? His real name is Bert, correct?
Oh, so, yeah. Brett, I think is what it was.
Brett, that's right.
He got a haircut.
Very observant, Mike. Brady, what?
I only see him once a week.
You've seen him 9 times today, well, first time you said it.
Yeah. Looks good, Mike.
Yeah.
Brett.
Thank you.
Looks really good.
Brady, your biggest story from last week was what in the college football world?
It was probably the CU-Houston game, the quarterback carousel that Coach Prime continues to go on. Although the UNC-South Dakota battle turned out to be pretty fun. But for me, it's all about the storylines after the fact and... Yeah, more Coach Prime talking about not knowing what an identity is, not knowing what a solidified quarterback is, not knowing when to call timeouts. It has been a fascinating journey so far through 3 weeks for Coach Prime.
Dustin, I know you were out last week, my friend, but what was the biggest storyline, biggest headline takeaway for you from last week?
Yeah, I'll go Air Force. I was very, very high on Air Force, and then them giving up a zillion points. Tough scene there.
Mike?
Yeah, for me, it's UNC. This team, they're so close 2 weeks in a row to winning games that everybody thought they didn't have any business being in. And I love this team. I love what Ed is doing, and I love that they're on the right track.
All right, let's start first with CU and work our way around the table with those big takeaways from last week. CU loses to Houston 36-20. Ryan Staub, I was high on him. Brady, you and I had a good conversation about him last week. I clearly was in the wrong. I saw flashes, of what could be with Ryan Staub. Those receivers couldn't have caught COVID in the middle of 2020. I mean, it was just really bad on that front. But do you like the decision to go back to Caden Salter?
I like the decision to go back. I didn't like the decision. I didn't like the fact that you have to go back to Caden Salter. But talking to Brian today on The Hull Show, Brian kind of made it almost sound like, Coach Prime on his coach's show said, hey, if you guys knew what we knew about the quarterbacks, you wouldn't, you'd be singing a different tune. And Brian took that as, is Caden not really leading the team? Is there stuff going on? Maybe not terrible stuff,
right,
but just not quite the leader of the football team that they were looking for. So maybe this was a kick in the butt type of thing for Caden Salter and not really ever the full plan. Staub was just kind of like a decoy, was almost used in this. Mm. That's kind of how Brian took it today.
Ryan Staub, 19 of 35, 204 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions, and of course the great long run, that ended up resulting in a touchdown. It wasn't his on the ground. Where are you at with the Buffs here, Derbs?
It's just still very interesting. Like, I still think that overall they're a good football team, it stinks that they've got the quarterback carousel a little bit. It's just not a whole lot of unity. But I think overall, they'll figure it out a little bit more week by week. Very excited to watch this CU-Wyoming game because I think it's going to tell an awful lot.
And you're a little higher on Houston than you were going into the game.
Yeah, 100%. They had played absolutely nobody and just thought that their stats were a little bit misleading. But that's a good football team. Very impressed with their defense. The offense was just kind of meh. They had a lot of field goal attempts, couldn't convert it a whole lot. But yeah, I'm much better than what I had anticipated.
What were your takeaways from CU Houston last week, Mike?
Yeah, CU is like the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL. Like, they're getting talked about, but for a lot of reasons that they don't want to be talked about at this point. Ryan Staub, PFF grade 35.3, which is 20 points lower than what Salter was when he was playing. So that, to me, tells a little bit of a story that Staub's probably not the guy that they're looking for. I don't know. I'm so confused by this team. I don't know what to expect. I'm so back and forth on this Wyoming CU game.
Yeah, 36-20. The CU Buffs lose this one.
Some of the Buffs, like, diehard people that were, like, ride or die with Coach Prime kind of had a weird time with the fact that they brought Ice Cube in to talk to the team on Monday. I just found that fascinating because you're seeing a shift right now of fans kind of like, okay, when you're winning, that stuff is cool. Lil Wayne and Lil G or whatever.
Yeah, Lil G.
All these
great
rappers and stuff are coming in. And then when you lose to Houston, and I agree, Derbs, Houston's much better than a lot of people thought, but they were picked by most of the like diehard Big 12 people to finish middle to bottom, slightly above CU. So that game was kind of a hinge game, I thought, in the Big 12 early. But it's just kind of interesting to see the fan base starting to show some frustration even toward Coach Prime.
It's funny how quickly that new car smell wears off.
And I didn't think that was possible. I didn't think that was possible with Coach Prime. I thought he was the one person that would not go away for a very, very long. I thought you'd have to have, like, multiple losing seasons.
He's done incredible damage, though, simply by the, when would you have called the timeouts? What's a solidified quarterback?
3 weeks in a row, he's had three of those
kind
of things.
What was this week's?
It was, what does an identity mean?
Yeah.
Basically.
That's not.
And he knows what all that means. He's just not answering the questions.
Yeah, I don't love that. So we'll dive in. CU Wyoming. I think that's going to be a really fun game tomorrow night. Let's go to UNC and South Dakota. We mentioned it. The Bears have the ball at the 1 yard line, first and goal in the fourth quarter, and they run it three times. Decide to kick the field goal first and foremost. You good with the play calling selection there, Mike?
No, I'm looking at it, and you had the Hank Gibbs coming in and playing quarterback like a wildcat situation, and I kept expecting, like, okay, this is the one when they're going to pull out a little pass play and fool everybody. He's going to throw it because obviously he's able to throw it, and it didn't come, and I was just like, throw it once, but, you know, disappointing.
Dustin, your thoughts on the end of the game?
I'm just more impressed on the mental outlook of all the players, because that's a tough thing to do at CSU, and then travel all the way up to South Dakota and have it be a ball game, which is, I guess, for most experts, obviously a much better team. That's my biggest takeaway. Huge kudos to the coaching staff for getting those kids ready and the kids being ready to be in that spot.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I was, and this is why I took South Dakota minus the 21.5 last week in our picks. I thought there was going to be a hangover from everybody patting him on the back. Ed Lamb talked about it on Football 52 that he was worried about that. Right? Do you want that internet gold brick? Do you want that meme? That internet meme? And boy, he had his guys ready to go, Brady.
Yeah, and going back to the first and goal on the 1 yard line, I get it. You know, I liked the fact though you had Hank Gibbs. Now they called those plays. They were run plays, but they were designed like, hey, if you see something, you can tag off of that, and if you see something open, go for it. It wasn't like a read off. It wasn't an option necessarily, but it was kind of there, and they just weren't seeing it. And the coaching staff on the sidelines, they basically kind of predetermined we're more than likely going to run it three times in a row and then kick the field goal. There was also a thought maybe that South Dakota was just going to let him score so they'd have 40 seconds left to try to go down and have time to score there too. So very weird, very tough situation. And I like what Ed said. He's like, people say that you should have passed at least once. Well, you know, clearly I was wrong because we didn't score on those three runs. But who knows? Right. It's hard.
There's nothing saying that a pass play is going to be wide open and you're going to hit it and anything. But I just, man.
You would have liked maybe on first
just,
down.
Yeah, just once. Just give your guy a shot. And then at least it's in South Dakota's head that, well, they could pass this. They're not just going to try to pound it at us and score.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm with you guys. And I think UNC, you know, you've got to learn to win before the winning starts. And Ed was talking with us about that on Good Morning NOCO earlier this week. And he's like, we're seeing that. We're starting to see those steps of, hey, we marched, you know, on CSU, after they score, we march all the way down the field, and we saw that. Our guys are fighting to the bitter end. He goes, now it's time for those results, because I, for one, I'm done with the moral victories now with UNC. I get it. It's cool, but it's time to start winning. Like, you're at the point now where you're going to play a Houston Christian team, formerly Houston Baptist, that Ed McCaffrey's team went down and beat however many years ago. They've got to go win this game this week, and I'm going to pose a question. I asked this to Ed, too, just straight up. Eric Gibson, 28-39, 336 yards, a touchdown in this game. The stat line obviously pops off. Was there any conversation about him being the guy going into this year with the injury history of Peter Castelli? And Ed said, listen, there was a competition, but it's hard to dethrone the incumbent, which was that starting quarterback. I'm loving, Brady, what I'm seeing from Eric Gibson Jr. right now.
He's been really good. It seems like he's getting better every week, too. This is obviously last year, Hank Gibbs was the next guy, and then he got hurt. But even from Hank, they weren't seeing this from their backup quarterbacks at all. The fact that he looks competent back there, and it's not a knock on those other guys, but they didn't have this. And for this team, if you don't have another quarterback, because again, it's not like UNC's getting their pick of the litter for every single position. So typically it's going to be one guy's pretty good, and then the rest, it's tough. So to have this guy, Eric Gibson Jr., be able to be pretty solid, it seems like he's getting better every single week against two really tough opponents for him.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. This guy's turning out to be kind of a stud.
Mike, you're big on the completion percentage, too. You put the ball in the air 39 times, 72% completion.
Well, and that's 72% there, 67% in his playing time. So that's fantastic. Anything above that 65%, I'm going to give you the thumbs up and say, let's keep going.
Yeah, and he's doing what it takes. I mean, he found Carver Cheeks, you know, three catches, 95 yards, but he's taking what the defense has given him. Rocco, is it Traore?
Yeah.
Rocco Traore, eight catches out of the backfield for 24 yards. And I think that UNC may supplement a little bit of that run game. Now, it sounds like Matthias Price is going to be back and healthy completely for this game, but I think they may supplement that run game a little bit with those short passes, not unlike what Sean Payton does with the Broncos, Derbs.
Yeah, I think the game plan every week, to me at least, is a little bit more attainable with Gibson. It doesn't have to be so specific on run play options, like all the different things that Castelli was probably better at. I think the playbook actually opens up a little bit more with Gibson to me.
All right, let's go to Air Force and Utah State from last week. Utah State 49, Air Force 30. The Falcons go to 1-1, 0-1 in the Mountain West. Josh Johnson, 5 of 9, 112 yards and an interception, a 12.1 QBR. That may loom large for our performance of the week coming up later in the program. Dustin, you were so high on Air Force going into this, and I think maybe all of us, Kay, I'm not going to put you on an island because I went and put my hard-earned money on Air Force on this too. It didn't turn out the way that we thought.
And I'm still fairly high on Air Force. I think this is maybe an underestimated spot for Utah State. Maybe they're just a little bit better than what we actually think they are. But it wasn't good by any means on the Air Force side. I really thought that they would put it all together, control the clock a little bit more. I was aware that Utah State could put up points. I didn't see 50 in the ballpark. I was expecting something in the 30s and have it be kind of like a shootout-style game. It's just not enough to get it done on the Air Force side for us.
Well, I think the main problem for Air Force at this point is on the defensive side of the ball. They have to be able to get off the field. That way that offense can be out there and eat up the clock, keep the score low, like Derbs was talking about. You look at the PFF grades for Air Force's defense, one player in the 70s, five in the 60s, four in the 50s, one in the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the defense is just not getting the job done at this point.
Anything on the Air Force front? Or you want to go to Wyoming here, Brady?
Bryson Barnes for Utah State. Bronco Mendenhall, head coach of Utah State. He goes from New Mexico, and they think, oh, well, we got our guy here, and he goes to Utah State. And I didn't think it would be as quick. And they're 2-0 or 2-1, 1-0 in the Mountain West, and That second half, they were on a mission. So watch out for the Aggies. Yeah,
his style's rough on like the player side of things, but he's a proven winner.
Yeah,
I love it. Last game from last week, of course, Wyoming, they take on Utah. This was an absolute snooze fest in that first half. If you like defensive football, I suppose, this was the game for you. 3-0 at the half. And then, Mike, I feel like Wyoming just didn't have the athletes to stay caught up in that second half.
Yeah, they don't have it. Man,
where are you at with Caden Anderson, man?
I'm still on board. I'm still on the Caden Anderson train. I think he's going to be a good player. I think he's still learning. This is a guy who didn't start until the last few games last year. He's just started a few games this year. I'm on board with it. I love their 50-50 pass run on offense. I love that balance that they're having. Sam Scott's a stud. And the defense, those two linebackers they have are absolutely ridiculous. I think both of them are ranked PFF grades in the 80s, and both of them are ranked like 35th or higher out of like 600 and some linebackers. So
you're on the opposite end on Caden Anderson.
Yeah, well, my guy Clayton that I do Front Range Spare Change with, he went and physically watched, and he says he's missing guys by like 4 to 5 yards at a time. So I don't know if that's a timing thing, receivers are running wrong routes, Mike says, just him learning the whole entire thing. I'm not really out on Caden Anderson. I think he's by far their best option. It's just like the consistency of Caden Anderson is nowhere close to probably where it needs to be yet.
Your thoughts on Wyoming, Brady?
I think defensively, I think they could probably beat a lot of good teams. Maybe not top 20 teams, but I think they could go out there and cause some chaos. Like you said, Evan Eller and Braden Johnson, those two linebackers, might be playing on Sundays. But offensively, for them, they're going to just have to go back to what Craig Bohl was doing. You know, Jay Sauvel was like, oh, we're going to be running, but we're also going to be passing. Maybe in spurts, but this is going to look a lot more, I think, coming up here, is going to look a lot more like Craig Bohl's offense.
I think you got to give Utah their flowers, too. A lot of top 20 teams would maybe start to crumble at half if you're only up 3-2, who a lot of people picked to be towards the bottom of the Mountain West at the half, and then they just poured it on, and they just kept that physicality up, and Wyoming couldn't compete in that second half. So there you go. There's our takeaways from last week, a recap of last week's game. We've got a lot to get into this week. Obviously, Wyoming and CU tomorrow night at 8:15. CSU enters back into the chat against UTSA. Mike will break down UTSA for us with our right-hand construction. Opponent construction coming up in a bit. We'll also have our players' performance of the week picks. Who's walking away with the crown of shame this week? And play along as well with our performance of the week, our performance of the week. Give us your thoughts on where the current state of Rocky Mountain College football is. Text us today, 888-530-0043. It is the Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse right here on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA
Roadhouse.
Go ahead, Brady.
I don't know the rest. I just know the first part.
It's your album.
It is my album. I usually just sing it. I don't try to memorize it. I have people with a teleprompter. Hold it up with cue cards.
Mike, I could come back there and give you a big old sloppy kiss right now for that one, buddy. We've been waiting 3 weeks for that song right there, and he finally played it.
Welcome back listeners in. Listeners to help defend me from Tanner's
Calm down,
kiss.
Bert. Calm down, Bert. Brent, whatever it is. Micah Kilpatrick, P439. I'm Tanner Schwint, Mike Danson, Dustin Irvis, Brady Hull, Micah Kilpatrick doing the production work for us here this afternoon. And let's talk about a team that obviously we haven't talked a whole lot about, Colorado State. And the last time we saw them walking off the field was victorious against the University of Northern Colorado. A lot of controversy. They opened up the quarterback competition last week. Jackson Brousseau, Braden Feller-Nicolosi, Jay Norvell comes out and says, BFN is our quarterback. He's been our quarterback, and he is our quarterback taking on UTSA this week. We start first with our right-hand construction, opponent construction. Here's Mike.
Yeah, UTSA's offense is led by quarterback Owen McCown, who's the son of former NFL quarterback Josh McCown.
Oh, Josh McCown. Kevin Lytle and lied to me earlier this week.
Isn't Luke still playing?
I don't think so.
I think Mike's doesn't, right. Yeah,
but doesn't mean he can't have a kid.
Yeah. Dynamite drop.
So,
that school is really paying off.
Herbie Hancock.
Micah, can you look that up, please?
It's Josh McCown.
You're positive?
I looked at the, you think I'm just throwing it out there?
Like, I don't trust a guy with a haircut like yours. Okay, go ahead.
I got a haircut this last week. Josh McCown is also the Vikings. That's a great thing. He's the Vikings quarterback coach right now. But Owen McCown is playing well. 583 yards, 65%, 6 TDs, 0 interceptions. Running back Robert Henry Jr., 80 PFF grade, 47 carries, 480 yards. Do the math there. That is 10 yards per carry, folks. That is a lot. He has 6 touchdowns on the ground. O-line, they don't grade out very well, but obviously they're doing something right for those kind of stats. Defensively, Shad Banks Jr. is the leading tackler. He also has 2 interceptions for them. Edge player John Jones is having a great start to the season. He's at a 72 PFF grade. The defensive line and the secondary are not very good.
Yeah, to topple on to that, so UTSA is incredibly efficient on offense. So 27th in the country in that category, 43rd to be rush effective. As you mentioned, 10 yards per carry is something from their main starter there. They're 81st throwing the ball in the air, which isn't great, obviously. So you're going to see a lot of read options and a lot of kind of like ball control things from Owen McCown. The defense side for UTSA, they actually rate out pretty good against the rush, 38th. They're 109th against passing quarterbacks as of right now. So BFN, it's your showtime.
Yeah, CSU only had one.
Yeah, I mean, for BFN, for this offense, they're going to have to put, because I don't have a lot of faith in the defense on this side of it, but for the run game for CSU, I really think that that's what has to carry this team. That's what carried this team last year. I think they have to just kind of go back to what got them there last season. I know Coach Norvell is going to be eager to see BFN try to answer some of those questions because there's so many questions around him. But he needs to do the opposite of Sean Payton, swallow that pride, and just go with the run game and not try to make a statement on Saturday with Braden Fowler Nicolosi.
So one thing about BFN, passing-wise, 4% of the pass plays have been turnover worthy. A good number is like around 2%. So they're at double the amount of pass plays that are turnover worthy. And they have a very good offensive line. And Jalen Dupree is good. Like, just run the damn ball. I don't know how hard it is, but you just got to get it in your head that you have to run the ball.
Yeah, by far the best thing CSU does is run the ball. So right now they're 73rd in the country, just by my little algorithm here. But their entire offense throughout the entire things that I look at is 93rd. In the country, and on defense are 103rd if you average all of those things together. It's just below average right now. I do think potential on them is a lot better than this right now, but right now it's tough.
I want to ask you guys this. When Brady said you got to swallow your pride and just do what it takes, does Norvell have any time not to do that?
No, he's coaching for his job now from this point forward. If he loses to UTSA, he's not getting fired, but every single game is just another chapter in this ultra important season for Norvell. So Kevin believes this, Mr. Lytle, that if it's a struggle bus early, the leash is going to be pretty short because this is no time for loyalty anymore. This is your job. This is your livelihood at stake. And you're not going to put it all on a 21-year-old kid or whatever is a, I don't know how old he is.
I hate the fact that, like, I've been crushing BFN since the beginning of the season. I just don't think he's the guy. But there is no help from that defense at all. If you look at the grades for their defensive line, one guy is like in the 60s, but Jake Moran, 46.6. Andrew Larich, 41.6. Jaquan Evans, 47 PFF grades. That's not getting it done. You have to be better. The only guy on the defense that really stands out is Owen Long. And he's playing pretty good at linebacker.
And that's with just giving up 17 to UNC. So, I mean, like, I understand Washington has the better athletes in game one and whatnot, but it's just a a combo of what I've seen and what the numbers show, it's just, it's hard to believe in that. And then you hear the player specific grades there. That's just, it has to be better. And I'm with you guys. It, like, the time is now, and I think style points matter going forward. The fan base is going to be lost if they don't start looking completely different. Yeah.
So I got a text during the whole show. I heard this come through, but let me Jackson Warren. The big tight end. I know Brady's been high on Jackson Warren for CSU. Allegedly spotted walking around campus in a boot. Ooh. As well. Brady, if Jackson Warren can't go tomorrow, how big of an issue is that for CSU?
They didn't get him involved really against UNC, although BFN missed him a lot. But he's open.
It's tough to miss 6'8".
He's open against Washington. He's open against UNC. You just couldn't hit him. Yeah, it's tough to miss 6'8". And this guy, you know, just can't seem to get rolling health-wise, but that's a difference maker right there. So if he's not on the field, you haven't seen much production from your receivers. So they put a lot of stock into him.
All this stuff we're talking about, it comes down to if you can run the game, if you can get the run game going effectively, then your play-action game opens up and it can help that pass game.
Yeah, I think 100%, like, it should be in the 70-30, 65-35 run split going forward, because that is by far their best option to win.
We'll see what Jay Norvell does. CSU taking on UTSA. Home dogs tomorrow night, 7:30. That game will be on FS1. More to come here. Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome back in. Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse. Dalton, we go now. Air Force and Boise State, 5 o'clock tomorrow, CBS Sports Network. I'm Tanner Schwint, Brady Hall, Mike Danson, and Dustin Urbis. I pointed at Dustin, said Mike, screwed it up, I'm a professional. We go now to our right-hand construction, opponent construction here with Boise State Broncos. Mike, what do we know about Boise State?
Yeah, Boise State's offense, left tackle Cage Casey is an absolute stud. 85.8 PFF grade, that's the fifth best left tackle out of 556 graded in the NCAA. They've replaced Ashton Genty with a good group of running backs, averaging 5.8 yards per carry as a team. Quarterback Maddox Madsen is playing, I would say, around average, 532 yards, 56%, 3 TDs, 0 interceptions. Defensively, the defensive tackles are very good. Braxton Feely and David Latu, both great in the 80s. Some weak spots at corner, one of the linebackers, one of the safeties, but one safety and one linebacker are well above average, so it's kind of a hodgepodge on defense.
Yeah, so this looks like a team that is just slightly above average on both sides. The offense, to me, is a little bit better than the defense. They rank 18th in play efficiency. I love teams that are that way because they can play in multiple styles of football games. They can beat you in 10-play drives. They can beat you in explosive drives. It's a full, well-rounded offense. The defense is about the same, other than they give up explosive plays. They're 86th in the country in that, so they have the tendencies to allow some chunk yardages and some big plays. But other than that, Boise, very, very solid football team.
Yeah, and that first game of the season was against South Florida. South Florida, after, you know, 2 weeks of play, they were put in the top 25. They got smoked by Miami, but number 5 in the country, they absolutely got destroyed. So that loss looked kind of bad at first because it was 34-7, but I think South Florida's really good. I thought and I only watched the first half of that game. I thought Boise State looked pretty good in that game. So my guess is they're going to round it out. They're going to figure this thing out as they go. But this will be an interesting one. And again, I know we talked about Air Force already, but I love watching their offense when it works. When you have a quarterback that can operate that triple option system, it is a blast to watch. It's almost, I know it's running, but it feels high flying because they're going to run the ball and usually break off big gains. But the question is, can they stop anybody defensively?
Well, and I'm curious to see if Josh Johnson comes out this week or if we see Liam Zark, who came in and he ran for 3 touchdowns last week.
Yeah.
In that, you know, I don't know, was Johnson hurt because he came back
I think they just kind of pulled him. Troy Calhoun just didn't like what he was seeing, and then he put him back in, and then he was kind of fine. So
isn't that how Josh Johnson got the job last year?
Yeah, he was the backup to start.
And then they kind of started doing the split thing and then go, if you're Troy Calhoun, who's going out there? Is it Josh Johnson or Liam Zarka?
He finished with Josh Johnson, so I would just, although I would imagine they're going to go with Josh Johnson to start.
That's what I would
think,
too.
What I would guess also.
You think that's the right decision?
Yeah.
Yes.
I do.
Go with the hot hand with that offense.
Yeah, and you know you have a guy, if you need to go to him, that is going to be ready to go. So it's not a bad thing to go out there with Johnson and, you know, kind of keep some continuity to the offense.
Yeah, I agree there. I think something has to happen before Josh Johnson doesn't, because I'm imagining that situation was just like a little banged up or just something on the sidelines to come back in, they don't just pull you and then put you back in. So I'm thinking it's like an injury type thing. But yeah, I'm worried a little bit about the pure defensive look of Air Force. It's just bad.
Yeah, the only bright spot I see is they have 9 sacks on this season.
Yeah.
So they're getting after the quarterback a little bit, which is great, but the rest of the defense is very questionable.
I just feel like with Air Force, it was, once things broke down, it was like they were in, what does Joe Flacco say? Was it Flacco? No, Falco in the Replacements at quicksand. I felt like the defense, they saw one bad play happen, and then they just started to go down more and more as that game progressed. I just don't believe that defense is as bad, and I think maybe Utah State's offense is just that good. But we're gonna find out. I do, at least for Air Force, it is an encouraging sign, because we wondered in this age of the transfer portal and stuff, is this just going to be Air Force now? The fact that their offense was moving so well is a really good sign, but they have to figure it out defensively.
Yeah, a whopping 131st against the pass is Air Force right now. Competent quarterbacks are probably going to have monster games against Air Force, but the offense, I think, is fine. They're 26th in drive efficiency, and they're 42nd on the ground, which isn't terrible. They're going to score points, so it is 100% going to come down to defensive side of things. But I still think they can win ball games in the 30s. It's just you can't allow the 40 pluses to 50 on a regular basis and think you're going to win.
Yeah.
Well, it's about getting that run game going and killing the clock. You don't let that offense from the other team have a lot of time out there to put up enough points to beat you.
Where's the ceiling at for these two teams this year? I mean, I think obviously Boise State went on that monster run last year. Air Force, there was question marks around it. Where's the ceiling for both Boise State and Air Force this season, Brady?
To me, right now, I still think the ceiling is Boise State wins the Mountain West Championship, because UNLV is undefeated, but I don't know who exactly they've played at this stage. So I would, but I still think Air Force is up there. I don't know if they're quite the cream of the crop of the Mountain West. I think Hawaii is kind of sneaky. They might be interesting. I'm still saying the ceiling is they're going to be in the Mountain West Championship game. That's the ceiling. They could get there. But you have to correct one side of the ball if you're Air Force on the defensive side.
Yeah, a good solid bowl game for Air Force for me. Like, I still think that they win 7-8 games maybe here. But Boise, I think, it is Mountain West title bound. I just think that they're above average in all categories. When you have a solid team, it's Mountain West wise, it's tough to lose to the bottom end of the Mountain West, I guess, having that style of football team. But I'm with you. As long as Alejado at quarterback for Hawaii plays, kid's very good. He hasn't thrown a pick since his sophomore year in high school.
And their field goal kicker hasn't missed a field
goal. Yeah, he's Japanese. Learned how to kick via YouTube.
Really cool story.
Incredible stuff.
Wow.
It's, yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm in the same with these guys. I think Boise's the cream of the crop, and Air Force is probably going to be around that 7-8 wins. They're going to be competitive all season in the games, but it's just part of the Academy's football stuff.
One of the three college football games taking place in the state of Colorado tomorrow, Air Force hosting Boise State, 5 o'clock, CBS Sports Network. For those of you that do participate, Boise State, 11.5-point favorites in this. Let's take a gander at the UNC Bears when we come back on the other side. It's a Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by Big City Roadhouse right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Killed Michael. He killed him back there. The fact that he can still produce it while doing that.
I can't see him. So yeah. For those of you that don't know what the inside of the studio looks like, there is about an 8x10 glass here, and Mike is history back there.
He just sank down.
He's not going to be able to sit back up. He's not.
No, he's
not necessarily
in.
What you would call athletic.
Do I need to go help him?
I see one hairy arm.
Oh, he's falling. Oh, he got it! Oh,
hey! He got up.
Melted into the chair.
He hates our guy.
Why do you hate Dwight Yoakam?
Why do you like Dwight Yoakam?
It's so bad, it's good,
it's
Mike.
It's phenomenal.
It's like Star Trek.
It's like Weekend at Bernie's.
Birds.
It's like Weekend at Bernie's, man. Just so bad, it's good.
That's a smart movie.
That's a great movie.
I will push back a little bit.
The second one, you can say that about.
Barely, but yes.
I don't think you were here last week. I declared that Pulp Fiction... Well, I know you weren't here last week, but I declared that Pulp Fiction was a bad movie.
Oh, it is literally my favorite movie.
It's a very good movie.
Literally my favorite movie.
It's a bad... It's, like, not good.
Can almost quote it front to back.
Anytime that's on...
Don't do that.
I'm watching
it. It's pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Anytime it's on, I'm watching it.
Me
it's
too.
It's a great movie.
No.
Great movie.
Any scene, it doesn't matter if it's 45 minutes in, if it's an hour and a half in, I'm watching that.
This is Micah's quote this morning when he was... I'm tired. I brought it out of steam, is what he said. And then he goes, I think this afternoon for the show we have in the afternoon, I'm just going to play your country guy. Right, this was at 9 a.m., not the same listener base that we've got right now. Like, for those of you wondering, that's Dwight Yoakam for Rocky Mountain College.
I couldn't remember his name or the name of the show.
Learn it, like
Who's
it,
the country
love
guy?
It.
Oh, he was talking about Dwight Yoakam.
He was talking about Dwight Yoakam, yeah. Okay, just play the country guy for the show in the afternoon.
I already begged him earlier. I'm like, please play Dwight Yoakam. He's like our little DJ over there.
Mm-hmm. I know. Do we need to tip you?
Heck of a job
so
far.
Yes, well, definitely tip me.
There's a plan. To tip Michael starting next week, I hear.
Yes?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah,
Tanner, tip me the $15 you owe me.
You will like this more than $15.
Yeah. This is like gold to you.
Starting next week, we better hear Dwight Yoakam whenever there's a request from one of the four of us. It's that good, Micah.
Mm-hmm. I just think we should do Dwight Yoakam the whole show.
If I get money.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, this is better than money. What do you like better than money?
The Broncos, Star Trek. Legos.
Think about your stomach.
Come on. Go on.
Kidney stones?
I don't like that. I have a couple in the other room if you'd like to
still,
see.
Still? They're still back there?
That's got to be an HR violation, man.
Somewhere.
Micah, what? Do you know? Is this why you're acting all coy back there? Like, oh, look at
he
me.
Knows.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, I guess he doesn't want any then.
I fell asleep twice during
all for us.
I guess he didn't want any.
No pizza for you?
I like pizza.
Can we hear Dwight Yoakam starting next week every segment for some, can I say it, Derbs? Can
you
we break some news?
It.
Next week, our presenting sponsor of our picks, it'll be pizza and picks thanks to Papa John's right here. And we will get and sample a different Papa John's pizza every Friday here on Rocky Mountain College Kickoff.
Well, I get that pizza for free.
You get pieces of it, yes, if we hear Dwight Yoakam. It is
no, you get, not if we get Dwight Yoakam.
No.
Contingent.
You get a bite per Dwight Yoakam song.
Yes.
I mean, you guys could try running the board.
We'll figure it out.
I'll call Brian right now. I guarantee Brian will come in here and do
he
it.
Pizza. Especially for pizza. Yeah.
Brian's on my side.
No, there's zero chance. Nobody's on your side ever about anything. Coming up in the next hour here, too. Obviously, we were going to talk about UNC, but then we got distracted by Bert. And so we'll talk UNC and Houston Christian. We'll dive into that. I'm very excited to hear from Mike about Houston Christian and our right-hand construction, opponent construction. Talk about that. We'll talk more about CU Wyoming. We'll dive into that. Yes, Mike?
You're excited about hearing
I am excited.
Me?
I am.
Wow.
You do a good job.
Flip since the first couple weeks.
I know.
Thought
I know.
About it. You're, well, you're, skipped you're, some rocks you're, and thought about who he was as a person.
Proven your worth. And also we'll hear from Andy Everett, who is the voice of the UTSA Roadrunners. Brian Roth, the voice of...
Beep, beep.
Somebody was going to do it.
We've lost our minds. The
middle two segments of this show.
Well, I
the
heard
best
road, and I immediately went to Roadhouse. It is a big city roadhouse football.
Big city. Yes, yes, it is. But Brian Roth, voice of the Rams, sat down with the voice of the UTSA Roadrunners. What does UTSA stand for?
Texas San Antonio.
University of Texas San Antonio. I know nothing about the Roadrunners at all, so I'm very excited to lean into that. You guys got your picks for who's going to be your performers of the week? You guys ready to go on that?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course. Who was yours? Yours was Carver Cheeks last week.
Yeah.
I had
about 100 yards.
I had Ryan Staub. And you had Kate Harris. And
I said Johnson, I think. Verbatim.
Verbatim was the Air Force quarterback. Johnson, I think.
Nuts. Forgot about the first part.
So we'll have that and much, much more. Be a part of the show today. You can text us 888-530-0043. I want you to spam this text line right now with your request of a Dwight Yoakam song. Okay? Send in the Dwight Yoakam song. Then it's peer pressure. Micah has to play it because we live here for you, the listeners. You're listening to Rocky Mountain College Kickoff presented by...
I don't have to do anything.
Big City, hey, you gotta shut up. Big City Roadhouse. How about those wings from Big City Roadhouse the other day,
so
right?
Good. So good.
We're off and rolling here. 1 hour to go. Right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.